This morning, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We humble ourselves before thee, O Lord. We ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts, O Lord. Lord, even as on the road to Emmaus, O Lord, when you expounded your scriptures, Lord, the hearts of the disciples burnt. And I pray, Father, that even as we meditate upon your word, at the end of this meditation, you will grant us a burning heart and a desire to love you, to serve you all the days of our life. To have a kingdom mind, a mindset of the kingdom. To develop a kingdom mindset. To that end, I pray that you would anoint even the speaking and the hearing of today's word. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Like every teacher asks, the first question is, did you do your homework? Yeah. Okay. I hope you knew that you had homework. It's a good exercise, actually. For blessed are those who do their homework, and when they come to class, they'll understand better. For those who do not do their homework, whatever they have, that also will go. Okay, that's exactly what happens in universities. First class, you know, what there are some students called auditors. They audit a course. I don't know if you've heard the name audit. What is auditing? You don't take it on credit, meaning you know you just want to come and relax and listen to the lecture. And you want to gain some knowledge, and you say, I'm not going to write the exams or take the tests or do the homework. I just want to sit in the class and listen to the lecture. That's called auditing. One of the first things that I do when students come to me and say, sir, can we audit your course? I say, please get out of my room, because I don't want auditors or spectators in my class, no? Because if you don't do your homework and you come back to the next class, I don't want to go over the material all over again. So this is what happens. No? Jesus says, to him whom much is given, much is required, and to whom much is given, much more also will be given to him, because he obeys what is already being told him. It's a good exercise. Good exercise. And I took a couple of days to go through Matthew and made an entire list of where the kingdom of God occurs. Honestly, even from the month of December onwards, that is one of the things that was in my heart, you know, to develop a kingdom mind. And this, all the gospels, if you see, every gospel has a particular emphasis. Gospel according to Mark was written to the Gentiles, to the Romans especially. So they introduce Jesus as a servant king. His servant. The servant is the one who comes to ransom others. If you look at the gospel according to Luke, he's introduced as a son of man, the last Adam. If you look at the gospel according to John, he's the eternal word who's there from the beginning, from everlasting to everlasting. But the very first gospel, the gospel according to Matthew, is a incredibly different gospel in that it introduces Jesus as the king of the Jews. Where is born the king of the Jews? That's what the wise men ask. So if you actually read through the entire gospel according to Matthew, the emphasis is upon the kingdom of God. So see, we need to really, really radically change our thinking. If you want to understand the Bible, and if it should not be parables to you anymore, you need to develop a kingdom mind. I'm going to show that to you this morning. And I'm going to pose a question to all of us. We read through a particular parable of the kingdom found in Matthew chapter 13. And you'll see that actually. Matthew chapter 10, God sends his disciples into the vineyard to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He preaches the word. He also goes around preaching the word. Matthew chapter 11, you'll see that they slaughter John the Baptist. He's into prison. He's in prison. Matthew chapter 12, they start to plot to kill Jesus. And from then onwards, Jesus does not talk to them in plain language anymore. There's a complete shift from Matthew chapter 13 onwards. The gospel according to Matthew from chapter 13 is only and exclusively for disciples. So, you'll see all the parables, the kingdom parables being introduced, the seven parables or eight parables, however you want to look at it. I want to look at one familiar parable, which is there in two. We've meditated upon it in different contexts, but look at it in a fresh way. And the reason I want to look at this particular parable is because, Jesus interprets a parable for us. He also gives a solution, no? The solution, it's like an example problem he solves in the textbook, no? After he speaks the parable of the precious pearl and the treasure in the field, right? He asked the disciples, did you understand what I said? They said, yes sir, we understood everything. I said, Baba, I just slapped my head like that and said, why do you say that? Leave the explanation for people like us. If you would have said, we did not understand, please can you explain? All the explanations would have been given. We didn't have to, do the interpretation for ourselves, no? Because we are interested in learning, right? So, but Matthew chapter 13, there's one parable which is, we don't have to really rake our heads. Jesus introduces the parable and he also gives us the interpretation of the parable. So let us look at that parable in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24 onwards. We all of us know, and I want to look at the New American Standard Bible. I want you to look at this translation because this brings out a very important point which I want to emphasize, and all the other translations kind of translate that word in a different way. I'm going to tell you what that word is. Let's read through 24 onwards. Jesus presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, I like that, while his men were sleeping, his men should not be sleeping, okay? They should be sober. While his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds, also called as tares, among the wheat and left. And when the wheat sprouted and produced grain, the weeds or the tares also became evident. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds or tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, while you are gathering up the weeds, that is the tares, you may uproot the wheat also with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the weeds and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then he ends the parable. And these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. So obviously there was a crowd over there and he speaks this parable. And he did not speak anything to them without a parable. This was so that what was spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. I will open my mouth in parables. I will proclaim things hidden since the foundation of the world. And after this, he also speaks this parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven, etc. All that is done. The disciples are particularly disturbed by this parable. Okay. They kind of are disturbed by this parable. So, goes on to say, then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the field, of the tares. So he did not ask of the parable of the leaven, nor did they ask the parable of the mustard seed, but they said, you know what, this particular parable disturbs us. What do you mean by this? Thank God they asked this question, no? Thank God, no? Thank God they had me in mind at least. You know, my goodness, I do not know about you guys. During our days, to get a solution manual for a textbook was out of question. The solution manual was only with the professor. So if the problem was given and if you do not get the answer, our goose is cooked in the exam. Literally. Okay. We have to rake our brains and everybody selfish in India. Nobody will share their notes. Okay, because they said, I want to get first rank. No, nobody will do that. No, so even I was also like that. No, I was also like that and said, sometimes if I get more marks, some other student gets more marks than me because of an oversight of the professor, I would tell the professor, sir, this was a mistake in his paper. Go and cut his marks. You're not being fair, etc. So we were like, nobody shares, no, solutions. And we used to really, but nowadays you are so blessed. You go to Google and that fellow gives you 2,500 answers. You just have to choose from the plethora. No, everybody lives on one thalli called Google thalli, you know? So she gives all the answers. Now, of course, it's ChatGPT, of course. But there, no, thank God, Jesus' disciples asked the question to Jesus, please explain this parable to us. Then he said, thank God. Look at this. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the... underline that in your Bible. Okay? And the weeds or the tares are the sons of the evil one or the sons of the devil or the poneros. That's the word that is being used. And the enemy who sowed them is of the devil. So the very first lesson that you see here is whenever Jesus does a work, enemy immediately comes while his men, that is God's men, are sleeping and sows a counterfeit. It happens everywhere. And they are called the son of the devil. I mean, this is not my interpretation, unfortunately. Thankfully, not unfortunately, thankfully. This is Jesus' interpretation. That's the reason why he looks at the 12 and he says, do you also want to go away? But Peter says, where should we go, Lord? You alone have the words of life. And Jesus says, did I not choose the 12 of you? And one of you is the son of the devil. Okay, so immediately, there's a counterfeit that is going on. Immediately, there's a counterfeit. You see, that's the reason why you'll see that wherever there are true apostles, there is a false apostle. Wherever there's a true prophet, there is a false prophet. Where there was a true shepherd, there are hirelings. Where there are genuine evangelists, there are false evangelists. And as a result of all this false teaching, what they produce is false brethren. And therefore a false church. Why? Because the counterfeit. So this is the very first lesson, I mean, and this, that is not the thrust of today's meditation, but I want you to keep that in mind. Okay. If you claim that you did not sin, you make who a liar? God a liar. So a lot of people claim. They claim to have fellowship, but yet walk in darkness. They claim to say that they do not sin, but that their lives is full of sin. A lot of claims people make, and we also make so many times. But God is not looking for external or outward adherence. He is looking at the hidden person of the heart. He is looking at an authentic life. See, one of the things I was thinking about, no, how do I express the kingdom of God? If I have to teach about the kingdom of God, you know, God told me one important lesson about the teaching of the kingdom of God. He said, Vijay, you can never express or teach the kingdom of God unless and until you yourself have a kingdom mind. And you're living under kingdom authority. It's impossible otherwise to express the kingdom. Any other person, it's not for everybody. That's the reason why you will not see kingdom preaching. Actually, you'll see it very rarely. So, let's move on. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age. That's the reason why I wanted the NASB, because NASB brings this word out. Other translations will use the word the end of the world. But the point here is the end of this age, which is essentially a time word. It symbolizes time. That means this age is going to end. So therefore the first work of Jesus Christ on the cross, it says he delivered us from this present evil age. And he made us kingdoms of a new age, or a new age that is, which is coming, the ages to come. So, just as the weeds are gathered up and burnt with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. Notice this. Where are these stairs? In his kingdom. They're not outside. Oh, my brothers, this is a solemn thought. Okay. It is happening inside the kingdom. In other words, what we broadly call Christendom, it is happening there. It's not happening outside. That is a sobering thought. Understand this. Okay, let's move on. So, what will he do? They will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit what? Lawlessness. And then goes on to say, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous, also called in this parable as the who? Ajita got it, the sons of the kingdom, right? Okay. All the righteous, then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their father, the one who has ears. Let him hear. Now isn't it interesting? He already explained the parable and he still asks us this question. The one who has ears, let him hear. So this morning I was wanting to talk about this. The title of today's teaching is, Am I a son of the kingdom? Okay. Am I a son of the kingdom? And if you look at this parable in Matthew chapter 13, there are seven things that you will see. The sower who sows the good seed is the who? The son of man. The sower who sows the tares is the devil. Wheat are the sons of the kingdom. Tares are the sons of the devil. Field is the world. Now Jesus said, I do not pray that you take them out of this world, but I pray that you would keep them from the evil one. Okay? We are not of this world, but we are still in this world. Okay? So the field is this world, and the harvest is the end of the age. And the righteous will shine in the Father's kingdom after the end of this age. And of course, the tares will be put into everlasting fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Therefore, the question this morning, am I a son of the kingdom? So, in other words, if I have to paraphrase this, do I have a kingdom mindset? Do I think kingdom? See, I'm telling you honestly, I was doing this study in Matthew and I'm making a lot of lists. And Warren Beasley makes a very interesting comment. He says, don't make too many lists, otherwise you'll become listless. Okay. So anyways, 49 times, by the way, 49 times you will see the word kingdom in a particular context being mentioned. Of course, the word kingdom comes 56 times in the gospel according to Matthew, but 49 times. I like the word 49. Why? 7 times 7, Arundhati is good. Now, 7 times 7, because it's a complete number. Now, so 7 times 7, 49 times the kingdom is mentioned and so many things that you can learn. And I started actually making a list of all those things and each is loaded with so much of teaching. But I'm not going to talk about that. Today the question is, am I a son of the kingdom? So where in the Bible the son of the kingdom appears the very first time in the new covenant which is what I want to see. And it's very interesting. It appears in a very contrasting way. Os Guinness once said, contrast is the mother of clarity. What is that? Contrast is the mother of clarity. You look at the contrast and do the exact opposite. That's exactly what God wants you to do. So this is what I want to show. The very first time the word son of the kingdom appears in the new covenant, of course, in Matthew. We are looking at Gospel according to Matthew, and it should be in Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, this is what it says. This is a centurion who had this servant in his house who was paralyzed and he was being tormented like crazy. And he asked Jesus to heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, or please speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Okay? And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And then he goes on to say, When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such, what faith? The word great faith only appears two times, and both these times in the context of a Gentile. First time a centurion, the second time the Syrophoenician woman. Or the Canaanite woman. And it's very interesting in the Greek it says mega faith. Great faith is mega faith. Great faith. Okay, such great faith where not even in Israel, and I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So therefore he says, you know what? I'm expecting some faith from the son of the kingdom, but I actually genuinely find one son of the kingdom from where I did not expect. That is the reason why it says Jesus what? Marveled. Means he was surprised. Can you surprise God? Apparently you can. And so, who are these people? The first characteristic of the son of the kingdom. First characteristic of the son of the kingdom. Look at what he says, the centurion says. He says, I know, Lord, I am also a man under authority. What does he say? I am also a man under authority. For example, if I say, I am also a graduate, Rachel. What am I assuming? That I'm assuming, I also know that Rachel is a graduate. So when I'm saying, I'm telling Rachel, Rachel, I'm also a graduate. Means, I know that she is also a graduate. So when he's coming and telling Jesus, I am also a man under authority, what does he mean? I recognize that you also are a man under authority. So the first thing, the son of the kingdom, what does he do? He recognizes spiritual authority. My dear brothers and sisters, you need to understand this. Spiritual authority, recognize it. Wherever you are, especially if you are children in a godly home or not a godly home, I mean, doesn't matter. It says, honor your father and mother. It says, Jesus went down with them to Nazareth and he was subject to them. What did he do? Subject to his whom? To Mary and Joseph. Did they understand everything that he spoke? No. Were they as godly as he was? No. But he subjected himself to them. It's interesting that he goes to the Jordan and he says, John, baptize me. And he says, Lord, I should baptize you. Why are you asking to baptize me? Permit it to be so, for it is befitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. You are my forerunner. And I recognize the authority that God has placed you under. And I'm under you now. So you have to baptize me. It's remarkable, my dear brothers. This is one of the most important things. I'll tell you one of the things. I'll, as young people, older people, whatever it is, whichever stage of the spiritual walk and spiritual journey you are in. Recognize wherever you go, recognize spiritual authority and submit to them. It will go well with you. It will go well with you. Submit to your father and mother. It will go well with you. Honor your father and mother. It will go well with you. And one of the promises, you will live long. Meaning you will not be finished before your time. You will fulfill God's purpose in your generation. Because that is the promise that God gives. It's a first commandment with a promise. Recognize spiritual authority. Look at what it says in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Look at Joshua chapter 1. This is the generation which is going to enter into the promised land. And who are these people who are qualified to conquer the promised land? The land of promises. And God has given us a promise. What is the promise? Enter into his rest. And if you want to enter into his rest this year, one of the things that you need to do and practice. You got to practice this. It doesn't happen in a day. Sam and I were discussing something very interesting. One brother and I, we were discussing. We were saying, you know, be prepared through the week. God will speak to you through the word. He'll be saying something to you through the word, okay? Through the word, through messages that you hear, etc. And when you come on Sunday morning, you know what the climax of the sermon is? The climax of the sermon is what God spoke to you, and the exact word comes from the pulpit, and when these two coincide, that is the climax of the sermon. for you. God has been speaking to you, and this is exactly what comes from the pulpit. The vectors of space and time coincide. And it's boom. After that, no, but you will not, I mean, you will not, it's impossible for you to fall asleep, first of all, because you are expecting God to speak. And then, when it actually happens, every other part of the sermon, you know what, there's a saying in English, it's called nickel drop. You know what nickel drop mean, no? You know what nickel drops mean? I mean, this is how you have to imagine nickel drop meaning. If you have a vending machine, and you put some 5 rupees coin in that, and it doesn't come out, but you know, because you're putting the wrong 5 rupee coin, and you go and say, you know what, this 5 rupee coin is not working, sir, this is an old 5 rupee coin, this is a new machine, it only works on the new 5 rupee coin, you take the new 5 rupee coin, and you put it inside, kadak, something connects and everything comes out. That means what? Something just fell into place, and all the jumbles, no? All the jumble in your mind, the picture just comes. Straight in front of your eyes. Come like that to a teaching on Sunday morning. You will see it'll be one exciting journey, but it's a practice. It doesn't happen in a day. Okay? So look at what the children of Israel who are going to enter into the promised land. This is what they say, tell Joshua. So they answered Joshua saying, all that you command us, we will. This is kingdom mind. Okay? And wherever you send us, we will. Go. Why? Because we also know that you are a man under authority, Joshua. Okay? Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will also heed you. Like yesterday, Pastor, if you heard the Friday teaching, no, Pastor was talking about there was a generation who was in the wilderness, even though their forefathers or their parents were not listening to the voice of Moses, they were listening to the voice of Moses. They were obeying the voice of Moses. So they practiced to hear from Moses, and they said, just as we hear Moses, we will also hear you. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord God be with you as he was with Moses. And look at what he says, the next one. This is powerful. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be. Bah! Radical obedience. Understand? Radical. So first lesson, recognize spiritual authority and submit to it. Then you are truly the son of the kingdom. Second, recognize spiritual authority. Second, recognize your unworthiness. Okay, recognize what? Your unworthiness. Think about this. Recognize your unworthiness. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy. Okay. I am not worthy. That is the reason why I need mercy. Okay. The moment you say, I deserve it, that's it. You are not qualified to be the son of the kingdom. People in the kingdom recognize their unworthiness. One of the things that Apostle Paul was set apart from his people, you know why? Because he recognized his unworthiness. He says, you know what? I am the chief of sinners. And so he goes on to say, Lord, if it possible that I should be blotted out from the book of life and my people have to be put in the book of life, it's okay with me. Because I don't deserve it. Recognize your unworthiness. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 15. We're talking about a Syrophoenician woman or a Canaanite woman. Look at what it says about her. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Look at that. I'm unworthy. I'm like a dog. Okay. It's like, you know, Hepzibah says choo 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 to all those dogs. When I walk on the streets, I say, hip. I said, hit. Hepzibah and we are total different brand. When he was, so this lady says, see, po, hit. She says, please, master. Yeah, kuka, po. Even the dogs, Lord. You see, recognize you. That is the son of the kingdom. It's a humble person. Humility. The mark of the son of the kingdom is his humility. Let's move on. Okay. Third, recognize spiritual authority, and I'm not going to put 3 and 4 together. He says, abandon themselves completely to the mercy of the king. What is that? Abandon yourselves completely to the mercy of the king and submit themselves completely to the word of that authority. These two have to go together. Mercy of the king and the word of the authority. I'm so sorry, I should have put this verse. Can somebody read Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse number 4? Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 4. If you have your Bibles and if it's turning, I love the change and the sound of those pages turning, okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse number 4, what does it say? Ah, 8:4 are they? Ah, yeah, thank you, read it. Uh-huh. For the word of the king is supreme and who may say to you, what are you doing? That is 8:4? Yeah, 8:4. Okay, so my quotation was right. The word of the king is supreme. Who may say to you, what are you doing? In other translations will say, wherever the word of the king is, there is power, there is authority. So what does the kingdom people do? They submit themselves completely to the authority of that word. Submit yourselves to the word of that authority. Okay? So, give you some examples. This is the same as the centurion's case, Matthew chapter 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word. Or speak the word only. For then, speak the word only. And we will obey. And it's okay. It's done. So, how does healing happen? He sent forth his word and he healed them. It's got power. It's got authority. Abandon yourself to the mercy of the king and submit yourself to the word of that authority. Luke's Gospel chapter 5. Okay, another example, okay. Simon responded and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say. Other translation will use the word, but according to your word, we will do it. Okay. So first, four lessons. Fast lessons, four lessons. Let us see that. So recognize spiritual authority. Second, recognize your unworthiness. Abandon yourself to the mercy of the king. And the fourth one, submit yourself to the authority of that word or the word of his authority. Let's move on now. Now it's going to be much more serious stuff. Matthew chapter 13. And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Excuse me? Who are they? The one who sows the good seed are the Son of Man, and the good seed are the sons of the kingdom, right? That's what he's saying. This good seed is the son of the kingdom. That's what we looked at. So, where are this seed? That's a question. Where are the seed? Let me clarify this. The fifth lesson about the son of the kingdom. This is what it says. These people, they are in the hand of Jesus. And he decides where to plant them. Okay. So, you understand? They are in the hands of Jesus. Because the field is the world. Some people might be planted in Hyderabad. Some people might be planted in Karnool. Or Surapet. Or North India. Or some in America. Some in Africa. Some in Canada. Wherever. It's the decision of the king. To plant you wherever he decides. So you don't decide. You are in the hand of Jesus. And he decides where to plant you. So what does it mean? They have given up their what? Rights. Wherever they are planted, they are content and faithful. And they do not murmur nor complain. That is the son of the kingdom. So God has planted you in families. Okay? Do you complain about your parents? Question number one. I wish I had a father like this person. I wish I had a father like Bill Gates. And I was looking at one of the YouTube shorts, okay? Bill Gates apparently went to a restaurant and It's very interesting. Okay. After he finished the meal, he left a $10 tip. So the waiter was furious and upset because he recognized Bill Gates. And he came to Bill Gates and said, "Sir, exactly the previous day, your daughter sat at the same table and she left a $200 tip. What about you?" And the daughter, and Bill Gates said, "My daughter happens to have a father who's a billionaire. And therefore he left a $200 tip. But I do not have a father who's a billionaire." See, God chooses your parents. God chooses wherever to plant you in his sovereign will. And God is no respecter of persons. You know, that is actually a liberating statement. So what does it tell me? God is able to speak through anyone, especially by, I say, "Lord, I will listen to young preachers younger than me. I will make it a point to listen to them." You know why? Because God is no respecter of persons, and sometimes he might speak more powerfully than from a younger person than from an older person. More powerfully, sometimes. If you look at the four friends of Job, the last fellow was Elihu. He kept quiet and quiet and quiet and quiet and quiet. You know what? He never opened the mouth until the Bible says, "So the words of Job ended." Full stop. And then he opens his mouth. From then on, okay, you all spoke, right? All you old fellows spoke. Now let me speak. But you know what? His words are words of power. Job has no answer. So God may place you somewhere in families, in churches, in countries, in places where he has ordained. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Because you are sealed in the hands of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're a seed in the hand of Jesus? If you believe, say amen. Some of you don't believe sufficiently. Why this family, Lord? Why this country, Lord? Why this? I mean, when I was growing up, I used to think, "Lord, if I was born in America, born in the USA." That was a song we used to listen to, Grammy Awards, no? "So I was born," and I used to think, "No, what land of freedom, this India, I have to work hard. Study and study and study. There's only two options for us. What is that? Engineering or doctor? Other fellows are useless." You know? So, you go to America, there's a land of the free. There's no competition like the way we have here in IIT. Only 3,000 seats. And then you don't get a rank. They say, you didn't get in engineering. Okay, beta, go and do BSc. Okay? Hare? You know, that is how they used to look at you. But God, in his sovereign will. You know, there's a beautiful psalm. "He leadeth me, he leadeth me." You know, there's a stanza which says, "Lord, I would clasp my hand in thy, nor never murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, because it is your hand that leads me. Content whatever lot I see, for it is your hand that leads me." Are you content this morning with your family? Are you content with your parents? Are you content with the church and the places that God has placed you in? Are you content with your salary? Somebody asked you, "What is your salary?" "More than I deserve." "How are you doing?" "Better than I deserve." Super, no? What an answer. Radically it will change your thinking. That is the reason why I have a kingdom mindset. No, I'll give you an example as to how to apply this practically through the words of Jesus. Okay? Now, this is one parable which disturbed me like anything. Okay, Matthew, you know, let me give you the background of this parable. The parable is this, you know, the parable is of this owner who has got a vineyard, and he goes into the city and he finds workers for his vineyard because they don't have work. He goes to them and he says, "Please come and work in my vineyard. I will give you 1 denarii. The first lot, he says, "I promise you 1 denarii. After a while, he goes again and he finds some people who are still not without work, and they ask him, "What happened to you?" He says, "Nobody put us to work." He says, "Okay, fine. I will give you that which is right," the second fellow. And in the last hour, just one hour before the work is going to get over, he goes again and he says, looks at some people who still don't have work. He says, "Okay, fine. You also didn't have work. Go into my vineyard. Go and work in my vineyard." He doesn't even tell them a salary. So they just go, okay? So all these, the first batch has come, the first batch is already working. Second batch has come, so the first batch is looking at the second batch. Third batch has come, so he starts repaying, I mean, he starts paying them, beginning with the who? With the last batch. He takes out from his pocket, one denarii. And everybody's like excited, no, I will get more. The last, the first fellow gets one denarii. The afternoon batch also gets one denarii. And finally, the third batch, the first batch also gets one denarii. And the third batch people are frustrated. Or rather, the first batch people are frustrated. We worked in the scorching heat of the sun and we thought we will get more. Now, this actually disturbed me. And you know, because I don't like, you know, people saying, you know, see, look, Jesus is a communist. Everybody is equal. See, Jesus is not a communist because again in another parable called the parable of talents, he takes away from that fellow who has least and he gives it to the fellow who has more. So, Jesus is not a capitalist. Jesus is not a socialist. How do I understand this parable? I'll tell you something. You will understand this parable only if you are a kingdom person. If you have a mindset of the king. You know why? Because you have totally and completely abandoned yourself to the mercy of the king and you say, I do not have any rights. The last batch people, they recognize that they don't have any rights to claim. Sir, give us also $1. No! What was Jesus expecting? He was just expecting the same kind of an answer from everybody. You know why? Look at what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 20. Let's read it. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they received it, they what? Ah, the problem is that, you know, lot of things that Jesus allows to happen in your life is calculated to bring that murmuring spirit out. The word is gongusmo. So all everybody starts a group, no? That is murmuring. It's all happening there. Okay? You thought we'll get more? Jesus said, he looked at them and he said, friend. What is that? I did you no wrong. You know why? This is not a capitalism. This is not socialism. This is kingdom. My right. I will give to whomever I please. Period. Then everything falls into place. What happened to my daughter? My son, they worked so hard. Why is... Slow down. Why should my son, my daughter go through so much of a problem? Look at those fellow. Slow down. Content whatever lot I see. You see, Matthew chapter 10, look at what he says. Saying, these last men have worked only for 1 hour. You made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree for 1 denarii? First of all, understand that I'm righteous because I keep my word. You agreed 1 denarii, I'll give you 1 denarii. Then he says, look at the next verse. I love the words that Jesus uses. He says, take what is yours and go your way. I wish. Everybody say. That's a very interesting word in the Bible, no? It's very interesting. I'll tell you why. Remember, Jesus has 12 disciples. In the gospel according to Luke, he prays for them he has an all-night prayer and he has recognizes 12 disciples. In the gospel according to Matthew, he sends 12 disciples. Just sends. In the gospel according to Mark, something very interesting is mentioned. You know what he says? He gathered around him those whom he wished. The 12 disciples. In other words, it is my wish. Why are you doing my wish? In other words, Telugu, na ishtam. What is that? Na ishtam. He is the original RGB basically. Huh? I am This is my kingdom, my wish. I will do whatever I want. If you have a kingdom mindset, if you have a communist mindset, you will say, very good, Jesus is a communist, Che Guevara, revolution. When you look, and then immediately the next parable, he will take that gas out because he's giving all the talents to the fellow who has got more. How come Jesus is a capitalist? Capitalist will say, hey, Jesus is a capitalist. No, he says, not. I'm neither a capitalist, nor a communist. I am a kingdom. And if you want to survive in my kingdom, better get the kingdom mind. What is that? Better get the kingdom mind. Have the kingdom mind. So what should your response be? If somebody, some other person whom you think does not deserve mercy and is getting mercy, you should say what? Praise the Lord! Did you understand that? What should you say? Praise the Lord. If some other person is prospering, you should say, praise the Lord! He's prospering. He's earning more than me. Fantastic. Can you say that? He's earning more than me. Fantastic. That is what you'll say. The children have gone to IIT. My people have gone to Usmani University. Praise the Lord. Can you say? No. Okay, you got into IIT. I have to go to MIT. You see, that is how it is. Praise the Lord. See, this principle is for people who understand they do not deserve anything from the king. They have abandoned themselves totally to the mercy of the king, and they have come under the word of his authority. Understand that. I'll give you an example in the Bible. Two examples, okay? One is a prophet. Pure, godly young man. Okay? Pure, godly, young man. His name is Zechariah. Okay? It's interesting. Zechariah and Haggai prophesied at the same time. Who prophesied more? Zechariah prophesied more. Haggai prophesied less. Only two chapters. Who's older? Haggai is older. Zechariah is younger. Did Haggai say, God gave him so many messages, for me only two? Did he say no? No. Both of them had a same mindset. If God is speaking to you more, praise the Lord. If God is blessing you, praise the Lord. And what happens is, this is a very interesting situation here. What is happening? Joshua the high priest is standing before Jesus, and Satan is at the right hand. He is getting accusations against Joshua. Joshua is the who? The high priest. So what will I say? Vijay, this self-righteous man. Lord, remove him from his position and appoint me. I deserve that position. But God says no. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, he says. And then he says, take away those filthy garments. Okay? Take away those filthy garments and give him a new robe. This is what happens in Zechariah chapter 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a band plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away those filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed from your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. Who's watching all this? Zechariah. No, Zechariah is like so excited that one man is getting blessed. And he said, Lord, you forgot something very important. What did you forget? This is Zechariah's heart. Okay, next verse. And I said, who said? Lord, 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 you forgot something. Put a mitre on his head. The most important thing. What is a mitre? Turban on his head. What is it written on the turban? Holiness to the Lord. He's so excited that somebody is being exalted in the kingdom of God. That's a difficult example. I'll give you a simpler example. Simpler example is this. Ziklag. We know the story of Ziklag. 600 men. Everybody wanted to stone David. David strengthens himself in the Lord, and he asks the Lord, should I pursue, overtake and recover? God says, go. On the way, 200 fellows say, it's enough, we are too tired. So David says, okay, fine, you stay with the luggage, we will go and fight. So he fights, he gets back all the stuff, and some among David's men, who are these people? They are among David's men. They have fought. They have risked their lives along with David. They make a very powerful statement, and look how the Bible addresses these people. 1 Samuel chapter 30, this is in the King James Bible, King James Version. Then answered all the wicked men, the men of Belial. Who are these men of Belial? Of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. This is going to help me, Saman. We fought hard, we risked our lives, we got the spoil. Take your children, take your wives, go. What does the Bible call them? Wicked men, men of Belial. You know what David says? What are you talking about? Look at David's language. But David said, my brothers, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays with the supplies. They shall share the same. Alike, everything. So it was from that day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance for the children of Israel unto this day. David was really a king. He had a kingdom mind. So what is the first thing? First is, you know, we can recap later on. So understand, very, very important principle. You are in the hands of God. And God has got the absolute authority and the right to place you wherever he desires. Be content. Don't murmur. That is the son of the kingdom. You know, those two brothers who came, the professors from Bangalore, you know, they came to me and we were discussing, you know, they said, you know, Pastor, we actually went and talked to, we had a conversation with Pastor Zach Poonen, Brother Zach Poonen a few years back, a couple of years back. And I was talking to him and I took a shirt as a gift to him and I gave him a shirt and he looked at the shirt and he said, why are you giving me the shirt? And he said, so we have been blessed by your messages and this is just a token of appreciation for what you have done for us. So he took the shirt. Then he, in the course of his conversation, he asked him, which church do you go to? He says, such and such a church in this part of Bangalore. The words that come from Zach's mouth, Brother Zach's mouth, wherever God has placed you, be faithful. Wherever God has placed you, be faithful. So wherever you are, whichever school you are, whichever college you are, you be faithful. For what is that? Exaltation does not come from the east or to the west, but where does it come from? From God. So wherever you are, be content. Don't murmur, don't complain. So now we owe a lot of thanksgiving to God. So just open your mouth and say, Lord, I thank you wherever I am. Everybody say that. You, wherever I am placed, Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you for my salary. Say that. Salary, okay? Say that. Good, that. Good way. No? Good to say that. Because so many of us, we desire to have more. Thank you, Lord, for what you have given to me. I'm content. And help me to live within what you've asked me, what you have given me. Within. Because those who desire to be rich, it says, they will pierce themselves through many problems and unnecessary things. Why? Lusts. Why? So, content. So, sons of the kingdom are content. Say that. Sons of the, are you content this morning? Then you are a son of the kingdom. So let's go to the next one. Matthew chapter 13. And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the son of man, and the field is the world, and as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. So what is God going to do? He is going to plant the seed, right? So when he plants it, he is going to plant it under the ground. So what is he expecting the seed to become? How does it going to become? How does it going to be a plant? You are all Bible scholars now. See? John's Gospel chapter 12. This is exactly the same word that Jesus uses. Exactly the grain of wheat. But Jesus answered saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it will not bear fruit. It remains alone. But if it dies, it produces how much grain? Much grain. And then he says, goes on to say, he who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor. So what is the sixth characteristic of the Son of the Kingdom? This is what I wrote down. The sixth characteristic of the Son of the Kingdom. They are people who are going to give up the temporal so that they will gain the eternal. Okay. What are these? These are the people who give up the temporal so that they can gain the eternal. They're very smart. They're very intelligent people. Very, very intelligent spiritually. Why? Why? They know that this age is coming to an end. It's coming to an end, my dear brothers and sisters. It's coming to an end. Actually, we want this age to end. You look at all the problems in this world. The kind of things that are going on around the world. The only solution to the problem of mankind is the establishment of the children of the kingdom of God in our midst. Only then all the problems will stop. Otherwise, we are only delaying the one which is imminent. So, what are these people? These are the people who keep their eyes on the eternal. They are not bogged down by the cares of this age. Okay, Mark's Gospel chapter 4, this is what it says. In Mark's Gospel chapter 4, let's move on. And others are the ones sown with seed among the thorns. Excuse me. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of this age. Do you see this? The worries of this age. What is this age? Temporary things. Temporary things. The worries of this age. Many of us are bogged down by worries and we waste a lot of time, like Pastor said. Worry is a waste of time. Because by worrying, you cannot increase your length one bit or reduce it by one bit. By worrying, also one thing also will not happen. You're not going to increase your bank balance also. Okay, try to worry. Actually, the bank balance will decrease because BP will increase. Understand this. Okay, so... But the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things, they, what do? They choke the word and they become unfruitful. The worries of this age, the cares of this age. Oh my goodness, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to understand. This is a very, very important truth for us to understand. Think, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies. Meaning what? When you say, Lord, it says in, I think Psalm 91, if I'm right, it says, those who are planted, not 91, 92. Yeah, 92 or 93. It says, those who are planted in the house of God, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Where should they be planted? In the house of God. What is the house of God? House of God is a place where people are living for one another and not for themselves. They're not bogged down by the cares of this age. The deceitfulness of riches. They're not looking at the temporary. Their eyes are fixed on the eternal. So this morning, how much of our eyes are focused on the eternal? How much, really, honestly, we have to ask this question. How much of our eyes are focused on the eternal? Okay. Focused on the eternal, not on the temporary. Because it's a dangerous thing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 9. Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present, what is it? Present age. This is an NASB translation. The present age. What did I do? He has forsaken me. He has deserted me. Why? The cares of this age. The deceitfulness of riches. He was walking with Paul for a long time. And slowly something entered into his heart. And slowly, you know, started moving away and away and away and away. And one day, it's gone. It happens one step at a time. We make it a point, my dear brothers and sisters, to stay close to fellowship. Even as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembly of the saints. You know why? Because this age is going to come to an end. Mm-hmm. Luke's Gospel chapter 20. This is what it says. Luke's Gospel chapter 20. Jesus said to them, the sons of this age, what do? They marry and are given in marriage. What do? The sons of this age, all they think about, like Pastor said, no? Whom should I marry? Okay. First you get which college? After that, job. After that, marriage. After that, children. After that, apartment. After that, not satisfied, 2 apartments. And people are doing that these days, no? They already bought 1 apartment. Suddenly they will invest in another apartment. Apartment, it's not, it's like roti, kapda, makan. First roti and kapda is what, roti and kapda, right? Is what Bible says. But we added roti, kapda, makan. And then we went a little further and we said roti, kapda, makan, gadi. Okay. And then we said roti, kapda, makan, do gadi. Okay. And we said roti, kapda, do makan, do gadi. See? You know, this is the first, if you go to somebody's house, no? I mean, some believer's house. Apartment to me then, huh? How much property you have? Where do you have property? This is the first question from believer's mouth. Which church do you go to? No. Nobody asks this question. That's the first question that should come out of your mouth if you're meeting another believer. Which church do you go to? Is this your house? Did you buy it on loan? How much more property you have? This is the conversation which come out of many believers' mouth, unfortunately. I'm not saying that we should not have property. No, not at all. But our mind is not there at all. If God gives, praise God. If God does not give, praise God. You don't have to think about EMI. Seriously, honestly, no? EMI worry ledu. Because whenever you take God, what do you say? Pastor, I've calculated the EMI. You know, when we bought the first car, you know, what are the things that my wife and I used to say, you know, we are not going to buy anything on EMI. Okay. If we have the money, we buy it. If we don't have money, don't buy it. It, really honestly, you know, we were safe for a long time. Even now, we don't have EMIs. Okay. Long time. You'll be safe. I don't get into all this rut of property, go in this place, that place. What will win? How long? When will you be satisfied? Did you ask, Lord, what is the purpose of my life? Why did you place me in this church? You planted me in this church for a purpose. Are those purposes being accomplished through my life? Or am I just like the rest of the gang? What shall we eat? What shall we wear? Where do I send my children to study? This is one big concern. I'm not saying that you should not study. Oh, it's very difficult for me to say, okay? Very difficult for me to say that. Because I look at my daughters and I say, you know, this. One of my daughters, she came to me and she said, Papa, I want to become a doctor. I said, no. No. I am the king of this house. You will do what I want you to do. Full stop. Poor thing, I don't know what she will do, but so I have already charted her career. Honestly, I mean, I said this is what you know, this is what you know, this is what you do, this is what you'll end up. Because that is what happened to me also. So same thing is happening, you know, iniquity is passed down. So, I'm sorry, this is how I think. Oh, this is what I think, no? No, when people say, you should allow them to be what they want to be, I said, hey, stop. What do they know, Ray? What do you know? They will say 150 things. They will say astronaut also. Let us be real. Yeah, I went to some student convention the other day. Okay, and one of the persons will say, here I see IAS officers, IPS officers. I said, hello, hold on. Really? I still haven't checked them. You know, my child is brilliant, sir. She may become Madame Curie, but she's not still Madame Curie, she's only Curie. She might become Albert Einstein, but she's not Albert Einstein, she's only Albert. Not Einstein yet. My son is this. No, hold on. No. So we have some expectations for our children. No? We chart our careers for them. So it's difficult. I understand. It is difficult. It is difficult. For sure it is difficult. So, but what do? In this entire process, one of the things that we have to teach definitely our children is this. The value of hard work and sincerity and integrity and uprightness. Okay. Things should not become easy for you. The first thing that pastor told me when we were like newly married and we had children, he looked at it and he said, Vijay, one of the things, don't teach your children, don't make life easy for your children. Don't make life easy for your children. Don't. Let them learn the value of hard work, discipline, money. Things should not come easily for them. It's good that way. Those are good qualities to learn. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, IAS, IPS, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don't chart the career like that. Okay. It's difficult, but yes. Look at what it says. The sons of this age, what do they do? Marry. Well, you know why? See, why in Andhra you want to send your son to IIT? Why? To make him a scientist? No. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, no, no. In Andhra, they don't want to send your children to IIT because they want to make him a scientist. No. They want that fellow to get a good salary. They want that fellow to get a good salary. It is not the love of the subject. Love of the money. Because they hear in all these newses, no? News, no? What is the news? 1.5 crore package. For IIT Kanpur. The highest package this year. 2 crores package. IIT. So why do you want to send your people to IIT? Because of the money. Because, no. You do not like mathematics. You don't want to contribute to the science. No. You want science to contribute to you. Honestly? Understanding. So, I like Warren Wiersbe makes a powerful statement. He says, you know what? We don't want numbers in our church because numbers count. No. You know why we want numbers in our church? Because people count. It's a totally different perspective. Okay, fine. If you want to earn money, okay, why do I want to earn money? So that I can give away to the kingdom. If that is your mindset, fantastic. More power to you, brothers, sisters. But that is the last priority, no? See? The sons of this age. Whom is he talking to? The Sadducees. Seven husbands, one wife. No children. In the resurrection, what will they be? Jesus said, the sons of this age always think about this age. This age. In the coming age, it's not like that. Look at what he says. But those who are considered worthy to attain the age to come. There's an age, my dear brothers, which is coming. What were they doing during the time of Noah? Eating, drinking, marrying, given marriage. What were they doing during the time of Lot? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Why? Because they are the sons of this age. This age is going to end. Very soon. Sooner than we think. The things that are happening in our country. Boy. With such rapidity, things are changing. There's absolutely nothing is certain in the next 4 or 5 months. Nothing. You do not know how things will pan out. Okay. The time of the Gentiles, I feel, is coming to an end. Almost. Because Jerusalem is becoming a burdensome cup to the nations around. Sons of this age are the sons of the kingdom. That is the reason why Paul says, you know what? Because the time is short. The time is short. Those who are having wives should behave as though They don't have. Those who have a lot of money, they should think that their money is not theirs. You know why? Because they have a what mind? The kingdom mind. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. This is what it says. The disciples said, if the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry. But he said to them, not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. And look at the next statement. Look at what he says. For there are eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb. And there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by people. And there are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. The kingdom. Why? Because they are not looking for the pleasures of this age. They are not looking at this age. They know that this age is coming to an end. They don't want to end up like Demas, walking with Paul for such a long time and the end of his life deserting him. Understand this. This age is coming to an end. So, are we worrying? Yes, we need to have a better salary so that we have more to give. That's what Agur says. Lord, don't give me too much, don't give me too little. Ah, kya statement hai na? Don't give me too much, don't give me too little. If you give me too much, I will say, who is the Lord? If you give me too little, I might steal and bring a bad name to you. So Lord, give me something which I'm content with. In other words, even if I have more, I will give it to him. That is what we call as a kingdom mind. Because you're what? The son of the kingdom. Let's go to the next one. And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the son of man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And what happened? They started growing. Okay? They started growing. And one of the things started bearing fruit. So, seventh characteristic of the son of the kingdom. They produce the fruit that king desires in a world that is hostile towards the sons of the kingdom. They desire fruit. Whatever the fruit that God desires, they bear it. See, the environment is the same. They're living in the same world. Both are growing in the same environment. Both are planted in the same ground. But those who are of the sons of the kingdom, they are using the world in a different way. But those who are the sons of the devil, they are using the world in a different way. The same resources of the world. Because the field is the world. They are taking the resources that are available in the world. And one is producing fruit that God desires in an atmosphere which is hostile to them. And the other people are developing or producing fruit that the devil wants them. That's actually useless. So look at what it says in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 11. This is what it says in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Same environment. The unjust fellow will continue to be unjust. The first person who is filthy will continue to be filthy. But the person who is righteous, let him continue to be righteous. You see, it is a continuous process. We never stop in this growth. We never stop growing. Okay. There's nothing called, in the kingdom of God, change is constant. From glory to glory. That's what it means. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is what it says. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. This is a world which is hostile. You will suffer persecution. But I endured. And I did not change my doctrine. I did not change the way I live. I did not change my purpose. My faith did not waver. I had long suffering. I had love. I had perseverance. I endured persecutions and afflictions. I endured all of them. In the midst of this hostile environment, I produced the fruit that God wanted to desire from me. God desired from me. This is what he was expecting from me. And this is the fruit that I produced. But what happens to the next brand? 2 Timothy chapter 3 goes on to say, but evil men and imposters. What will they do? They will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see that? So in this environment, there will be one set of people, hostile environment. There's not a conducive environment for the children of the sons of the kingdom to grow, but yet they will grow, or they will bear the fruit that God desires. Why? Because they persevere. Because they have faith. Because they love the Lord with all of their heart. This is the fruit that God desires from them. They produce it. But on the other hand, evil men and imposters. Other translations will use the word sorcerers. Enchanters. They enchant. The world is full of enchanters and sorcerers. But in the kingdom of God, three things don't have any place. Sin, sickness, and sorcery. 3S. No. In the kingdom of God, sin cannot be tolerated. Sickness should not be tolerated. And sorcery should not be tolerated. Sin, sickness, and sorcery cannot stand in the kingdom. Cannot stand in the kingdom of God. Did you understand that? So evil men and imposters, what do? They become worse and worse. So the question is, am I becoming better? Or am I becoming worse? Okay. Think about it, no? We started when we were, let's say, all of us started together, let's say, in 2008. Same church. Okay. All of us ate the same spiritual food. All of us drank the same spiritual meat, drink. But the Bible says, with most of them, God was not pleased. But who is this most of them, Baba? 5,99,998. Three. So for those people, God is not pleased. Only two people is pleased. Caleb and Joshua. Same. Was anything different? No. One is getting better and better even as time progresses. The other is getting worse and worse. But you must continue. I like this word. Continue. Continue. In the things which you have learned and been assured of. My dear brothers and sisters, we have learned once. No, you have to continue in them. You have to continue. Yes, we learned once, but we have to continue to grow in them. That is the reason why it says, grow in the knowledge of God. Grow in the grace of God. Both these things we have to continue to grow. This is a continuous process. And been assured of knowing from whom you have learned, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to what? Make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the reason why we come to the study of the scriptures, so that you become what? Wise unto salvation. Okay. Not wise in the things of this world, but wise in the things which are yet to come. Because we want to bear fruit to the Lord. So in the same spiritual environment, those people who are the sons of the kingdom, they bear fruit. In a hostile environment, a fruit that God desires, and the others become worse and worse, and they are ripe for judgment. 1 Timothy chapter 5. This is what it says. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. In other words, their works go before them before they reach judgment. Okay, they died and they came. So what the Bible says, their works have already reached. Tere se pehle, tumhare kaam aage. And likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident. And those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. The same environment. The field is the world, my dear brothers. And this world is not conducive. This is what Jesus has to warn us. This is what he says in John's Gospel chapter 17. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but you keep them away from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into this world, I am also sending them into this world. The world will hate you. Okay. So, First. So the next one, we'll just keep on going. Okay, we'll just look at this parable. Matthew chapter 13. Let's see another characteristics of the son of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13, verse 40 onwards. So just as the weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The son of man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out his kingdom, out of his kingdom, all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. So, as I told you, contrast is a principle of clarity. Is a mother of clarity. So he's showing as to what is the tares. There are people who are lawless and there are people who are stumbling blocks. So what is the son of the kingdom? The eighth principle of the son of the kingdom. Let's see. They have overcome lawlessness by submitting themselves to the authority of the word. This is important. What did they overcome? They have overcome lawlessness. And let me tell you something. There are three responses to sin. There are three responses to sin. In Proverbs chapter 28 verse number 13 it says, he who hides his sin or conceals his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes his sin will obtain what? Mercy. That is 28:13. That means there are three responses to sin. Either you conceal it. Okay? That is the worst stage. Don't conceal it. Right from the beginning, who was trying to conceal? Adam tried to conceal. Cain tried to conceal. Achan tried to conceal. David tried to conceal. Don't conceal. Okay. First is concealing your sin. That is the first stage. Don't conceal. Second is confessing your sin. Bring it to the light. So that you have forgiveness. Okay. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all your sin. Okay, but the third stage is what? Forsaking or conquering your sin. What is that? Conquering your sin. First is concealing your sin. Second is only confessing your sin. Third is what? Conquering your sin. What are these people? They have overcome sin. The nature. By submitting themselves to the authority of the word of God. Okay. Let me show you this example. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. So just as the weeds gathered up and burned. These are the people who, what did they do? They were stumbling blocks and they were lawless. So how do we overcome lawlessness? Romans chapter 6. This is what it says. Romans chapter 6. But God be thanked, though you were slaves of sin. It doesn't say that you were committing sin. This is talking about the nature. What did you do? You obeyed from the heart. That form of doctrine. What doctrine is this? This is the doctrine of the kingdom. Kingdom doctrine. To which you were delivered. Or rather, you delivered yourself or you submitted yourself. You say, Lord, I am coming under the authority of the word of God. And having been set free from sin, you became what? Slaves of righteousness. Look at the next verse. This is what it says. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So he who is just, let him be just. He who is unjust will continue to become unjust. What is the reason? Because he did not submit to the word. On the other hand, so present your members as slaves of righteousness. What do you have? The fruit of holiness. So you have overcome lawlessness. You have overcome sin. See, you can never hide from God. It says, Aidan coveted, Aidan took, Aidan hid. Aidan saw, Aidan coveted, Aidan took, Achan took, and Achan hid. He was found out. Don't conceal. Confess, but just don't stop there. Conceal, no. Confess, yes, but the third stage is conquer. Conquer. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19, this is what it says. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. Run from lawlessness or iniquity. This is what we call as submitting to the lordship of the word of God. Matthew chapter 7. Now, this is what Jesus says. Not everyone who says to me what? Lord, Lord. Shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father. You see that? Where do you find the will? In the word. So Jesus, when he came, he said, in the volume of the book that was written about me, I have come to do your will. You see that? Again? The will of God. Mm-hmm. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. Again, you see that Lord, Lord. But they are not what? Sons of the kingdom. They are people who are lawless. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, one of the things that you need to realize over a period of time, things in the spiritual walk do not come with easily. They come only with practice. Absolutely, they come with practice. Listening to the word is practice. Prayer is practice. Fasting is practice. Bodily exercise is practice. You know, we have a fantastic gym in our colony. You know, 150 families, how many people come to the gym? You think that everybody is having a line to the gym and booking for a slot? Nobody comes to the gym. 5 or 6 people in a day. But everybody has got a pot belly. Very few people come. You know why? They don't want to do practice. The kingdom of God is practice. Either you practice lawlessness or you practice righteousness. It's practice. He through constant practice, over and over and over again, the same thing over and over. Thank God, like Pastor says, no, so many people are coming on time. You know why? Because you've made it a practice. And you know what? Things in the kingdom of God are intentional. They just don't happen automatically. It's like mathematics. You sit in the class and you press download, it will not come into your mind. You have to do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. It should become muscle memory. You know, when you used to grow up, things have to be on your what? Fingertips. Ekala? Fingertips. I used to have some students in my class when we were studying for entrance exam. That fellow used to look at the question, write the answer. Not even solve. √3a/a. Finished. Arey, etlo chindra. He already did it in his mind. He's like Sherlock Holmes. One step solution. You know why? Practice. Practice and practice and practice. You have to sit and study that. Do that practice. And similarly, in the word of God, in the kingdom of God, you have to practice fasting. You have to practice listening to the word. You have to practice studying the word. You have to practice. These are spiritual exercises you have to practice. You have to practice accountability. It's a practice. If you do not practice, you are not a son of the kingdom. You have to practice speaking less. Honestly, one lady, the recent news, she has done Monvrat for 30 years. 30 years, one lady Monvrat. She did not speak for 30 years. I said, boy, first of all, you did not speak and you are a lady. Baba, kya baat hai. You do not speak. 30 years. It should definitely be headline news. Breaking news. One lady, she is going to break her Monvrat after 30 years of keeping silence. Kya baat hai? We cannot keep silent for a few minutes also. We like to practice our vocabulary. I am garrulous. Practice speaking less. That's what it says. Everybody be quick to hear, slow to get angry. For the wrath of man does not produce the... It's a practice. See, people do not become obedient one day. Obedience is a practice. You know that? Some of my students, when they come to me and when I'm solving problems on my paper, they look at me and say, sir, what is the speed? I said, you know what? Practice. How do you remember all these things? Practice. Practice. You know, how do you, I'll tell you something. Memory is commitment. Do you know that? Memory is a commitment. What did I say? Memory is a commitment. The other day we went to a bookshop, a Christian bookshop. There was a book called You Must Memorize Scripture. I mean, in other words, that's the reason why it says, commit it to your memory. What is it? Commit. I will not forget. So many things you will commit, no? I will not forget you, fellow. That if everybody commits nicely. This is a commitment. Practice. Practice. It's intentional. Things of God are intentional. No, I was just the other day, we were having this memory verse competition. One of the student, 20 chapters was the syllabus. 20 chapters they have to memorize from the book of Proverbs. Okay. One of the students, he came till 14 and 3 days deadline. He said, sir, I can't do it, sir. I said, studied so hard now. Just a couple of more days. Finish it off. Sir, I'm trying it, sir. I'll tell you, Proverbs is very interesting if you want to memorize. Till 9 chapters is easy. 9 chapters, it's a flow. There's a logic. After this. It's very easy. From 9th onwards, music starts. Because there is no connection between verse number and verse number 1 and verse number 2. You have to have a particular pattern to memorize it. Otherwise, you cannot memorize. So this guy was struggling. He used to sit for 3 hours and he still not get. So one day he sat with me. He finished 1 chapter. So 15th is over. I said, just 2 more days now. 5 more chapters are left. Let's do it. So you know what I did? We'll have an exercise. I will memorize Romans 2 in Telugu. You memorize Proverbs in English. Both of us will do a night out. So that student, he sat with me for 2 days and he finished it till the last. Okay. And then he gets a medal, Golden Apple Award for what? For memorizing the book of Proverbs. And who's crying? Mother. And I looked at him and I said, Phineas. His name is Phineas. Okay. Phineas. Anything in your Christian life is intentional. You just can't sit and think the word is going to go into your head. Now think about it, no? God is not speaking to me. Let me give you 2 scenarios. The person who regularly comes to church, listens to the word regularly, takes the notes, meditates on the word, keeps on thinking about the word over and over and over. Scenario number 1. Scenario number 2. A person who comes to church whenever he feels like. He is not often found before the Bible, but he is found before YouTube. But he says, Lord, speak to me. Who is more likely to hear from God? Tell me, honestly. You know the answer. You see, Samuel was intentional. What was the intention? I am not going to go away from the ark. I will sleep as close to the ark as I am permitted to. And he's such a light sleeper. Samuel, he runs to Eli. Think about your sons, no? Abigail. Emmanuel. The only person in my house who wakes up just like that is my third daughter. No, second daughter, no. According chronologically. Sophia, she gets up. All the other... Samuel, he just gets up. Now, a 5-year-old guy is so attentive. You know why? He's intentional. He's expecting to hear from God. That is what I call as practice, my dear brothers. You want to overcome sin? Have a life in the Word. Spend time before the Word more than you spend time before YouTube. Silence all the other voices. Definitely, you tell me after 1 week, you practice this. Shut down, have an electronic fast. But Samir and Rini. Electronic fast. You will definitely will become more holier by the end of the week than you were before. Just exchange the time that you spend before trash and the Bible. That's it. Exchange. Things will change in your life. Intentional. Are we intentional this morning? Some people's body language itself, you know, how intentional they are. They are obtuse. Yeah. So, these are the people who have overcome lawlessness. Another one. Next one. This is very important. They are people who are stumbling blocks. So who are these people? Who are the sons of the kingdom? Next verse. This is the next thought that I just enumerated. They do not give any occasion for stumbling to weaker brothers and sisters, and they are ruthless and self-disciplined. Ruthlessly self-disciplined. Okay. Especially you have small children in your house and you are a very disorganized person. Okay. And you have a lot of unclean problems. Okay. Who is watching? Your children are watching. For your sakes, become clean. Don't become a stumbling block. Don't become a block. That's what he says. These are what? Stumbling blocks. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 18. Look at, this is the New American Standard Bible, okay? So whoever will humble himself like a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe me to sin or to stumble, other translations, it is better for him to that he have a heavy milestone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depths of the sea. See, many times we see our habits in our children and we get upset with them. Did you understand that? Did you know that? Why are you so this thing? Because it is there inside of you. You see that in your children. Okay? Your table is messy. Your children's table also will be messy. I'm just giving you simple examples. Let me not extrapolate. You watch nonsense. Hey, don't watch that on YouTube. You can't say. Understand this. And look at what he says. The next verse. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. You see that? Huh? For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to the person through whom the stumbling blocks come. So in other words, he says, don't give occasions to the weaker brothers and so many young people in our own families. As parents, we have an incredible and awesome responsibility. First, in our families, what we should learn to do should be our convictions. We should learn to honor the word. First thing. Second, we should learn to honor men and women of God. We should teach that to our children. Learn to honor the word. Learn to honor men and women of God. Learn. It's very important. Otherwise, you don't honor. I mean, in other words, never, ever, ever give occasion or even an inclination in your house where you think that you're disrespecting the word or you're disrespecting spiritual authority because your children are watching. You're casual with men of God. You think your children will be respectful towards men of God? No way. You're casual in coming to church. You think our children will be casual to coming to church? Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I'm really grateful for our church, because right from the beginning, before we had children, we were married here and we were taught. So morning, every Tuesday, every week our schedule is set. Monday morning, men's prayer. Those days. First Saturday, men's fasting and prayer. Second Saturday, pastor's conference. Third Saturday, church fasting and prayer. Fourth Saturday, women's meeting. Wednesday, midweek service. Tuesday, Bible study. Friday, worship practice. This was a schedule that we followed. So every time we used to come down the stairs, our owner used to ask, where are you going to our children? We are going to church. Today, Monday, you are going to church? Yeah, Monday, we're going to. Wednesday, church. Friday, every day you are going to church? Yes. Because we honor. We honor the word. We honor the fellowship. We honor men of God and women of God. We honor them. We have to make that our top priority. We never ever want to become stumbling blocks for our children. Never should our children say, you know what, my dad, he never respected the word. He never respected men of God. But he was always honoring men of God and the word of God. And that will be given to our children. And don't be surprised if they dishonor. It's because of us. again. Children, I'm telling you something, my dear brothers and sisters, catch them when they are young and train them. The best place that you can ask your children to grow up is in church. There's no other place better than that. Okay, nothing else you need to do. Everything they will learn. I'm not saying that they'll become perfect, but I'm saying that make this a practice. Even train up the child in the way that he should go when he's young, when he's growing old, when he grows up, even if he strays, he will come back. Because the conviction's already there, established deep down inside of his heart. He knows, mother, father, honor the word and honor the fellowship, honor men of God, women of God. I see, you know, in some of the Pentecostal circles, no? Pastors, children, how they honor men of God. Bah! Especially in IPC circles. Ayagaru, ayagaru, randa ayagaru, kurchanda ayagaru, antawa, okena ayagaru. You will be embarrassed by the kind of hospitality they show. They're not casual. Okay. Understand. Very important for us as elders and as people who are in the kingdom. So we do not become stumbling blocks. So what do? We are ruthless with sin. So what do? And if your hand therefore or your foot is causing you to sin. What is that? If your hand or your foot is causing you to sin, what should you do? Cut it off. If you have to give up a lot of watching of television for the sake of your children, cut it off. It's worth it. It is better for you to enter life maimed or without a foot than to have two hands and two feet to be thrown into eternal fire. Why? Because you became a stumbling block in the kingdom of God. Children are precious, and therefore we do everything in our capacity to ensure that they have an environment that is conducive for them to appreciate the word, appreciate this fellowship, and appreciate men and women of God. So what do? We are ruthless with anything that hinders our testimony. Matthew chapter 18. And if your eye is causing you to sin, tear it out and throw it away from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes be thrown into the fiery hell. So what do? We separate ourselves. We will not be found any place as ministers of the word where you have even an inclination that, okay, this is okay for me to do. As I told you, no? I was in a pool one day. I mean, I'm surprised. I can never forget that from my mind. In a swimming pool in a place called Wonderla. Enjoying that waves with all the others. And suddenly my leg kicked somebody else. And he immediately got up from the water and looked at him and said, "Praise the Lord, Pastor." Praise the Lord, Pastor? In the swimming pool, okay? I'm with my children, okay? Don't worry. But I said, "Boy." I said, "Where does you, that youth meeting when you came to our church in Warangal, I saw you." I said, "Baba, kya baat hai?" Praise the Lord, Pastor. And just imagine you're going to IMAX and you're at the box office. Praise the Lord, Pastor. Emo. Miracle ekadan chena. Think about it, no? Stumbling blocks. Son of the kingdom. You should have a kingdom mind, you see. He'll remove stumbling blocks. Boy, I'm telling you honestly, we have to be ruthless for this, not for our own sake anymore now. Okay? For our children's sake. So many things we should not do. My goodness, I introduced one book to my children. I'm still regretting till date why I introduced that book. Be very careful. Okay. Be careful. So don't just be casual about this Christian walk because God is going to remove stumbling blocks and he's going to remove lawlessness. To be ruthless and be self-disciplined. Okay. Let's go to the last one. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their father. Okay. The last point. They grow from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter, even unto the full light of day. Brighter and brighter from glory to glory. Then there's a progress in your Christian walk. You see, don't start from light and enter into darkness. Don't start from light and enter into darkness. I'll give you three examples. This is what I got from, you know, when I was doing my study for Warren USB studies. Very interesting study. You know what he says? Three people started in the light and entered into darkness. The first person, Saul. When Saul was anointed as king, you know what? It was a dawning of a new day. The sun was rising. And he was anointed as king. But you know what happened? He did not continue to walk in the light. You know where he ended? He ended up in darkness in the den of a witch. First example. Second example, Samson. Samson started off. You know what Samson word means, by the way? The word Samson means sunny. S-U-N-N-Y. Means full of light. That's the reason why it says, if the light in you is darkness, how great the darkness. And what was the problem with Samson? Lust. Started off in the light and ended up in darkness. And it's very interesting. Judas starts off in the light. And it says, when Judas dips his bread into that cup and he eats it, Satan enters into him, and it says Judas leaves Jesus, and it says it was night. It was very symbolic. Started off in the light, ended up in darkness. Oh, what a solemn warning, my dear brothers and sisters, to all of us. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Don't start in the light, but continue in the light. But on the other hand, you see Jacob, it says, when he came to Bethel, the sun was setting on Jacob. He started in darkness. But when he had an encounter with God, you know what the Bible says? The sun started rising back in Jacob's life. And now he becomes what? Israel. Started off in darkness, but he ends up in the light. It's very important for us to finish what God has started in our lives. Shining brighter and brighter even until the perfect day. Psalm 84. Blessed is the person whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the word, are the roads to Zion. Kya baat hai? What is there? In his heart are the roads to Zion. You know, I like the song, Yesana song, no? Siyonu sikar agrahamu, ni simhasana mayanu. Siyonu lo ninnu chudalani, ashato na nayesaya. You know what he says? Zion is your throne, Lord. Zion is your throne. And I want to come to that Zion because I want to see you face to face. One day we want to see Jesus. We should not be like one man of God said, no, in heaven you should not be in a place where everybody says, hey, do you see Jesus over there, sir? Is that Jesus? Maybe he's Michael. We don't know. We don't want to be in such a position. Far away from the throne of glory. You know, far away from him. Close to him. So what does he do? Passing through the valley of Baca. Many of you are in the valley of Baca. You know what Baca means? Weeping. Weeping and weeping and crying. I'm sure many of you are going through some real difficult times. Some very important major decisions to take. It's a battle which is going on in your heart. Am I a son of the kingdom? And you say, Lord, why is this weeping? You know why? Because you are a son of the kingdom. You are going through persecutions. You are going through trials. You are going through temptations and situations and trials and difficulties. Absolutely, for sure. It's a valley of Baca. You know what it says? They make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. That's the reason why the Bible says, little flock, It is my Father's desire to give you the kingdom. Come, little flock, and inherit the kingdom which God has prepared before the foundation of the world. Little flock, it is God's desire to give you the kingdom. But are you a son of the kingdom? Look at what it says in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we'll finish with this. For David, after he had served God's purpose in his own generation, fell asleep. I love that. Fell asleep. In other words, he finished his work. He went from strength to strength to strength. Yes, he made many mistakes. He committed a lot of sins. He made many goof-ups. But notwithstanding the fact, he finished God's purpose in his generation. Because he went from strength to strength, the true son of the kingdom. So this morning, we are here in the end of the first month, January 28th. Right? The last day of, last Saturday, or sorry, Sunday of this month, the first month of this year. And the year is ahead of us. Develop a kingdom mindset. Develop a kingdom mindset. See, obedience is not going to be easy. You have to become intentional. Develop a kingdom mindset. And the Bible says about Jesus, he says, even though he was equal to God, he did not consider equality with God a thing that has to be grasped. But what did he do? He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a man. He made himself, humbled himself like a bondservant. And he became obedient unto death, even to the death on the cross. And therefore God exalted him. Condition yourself, condition your mind. Because this age is going to end, my dear brothers and sisters. There's a warning in the book of Hebrews. I didn't put it because, you know, it's a scary verse. But I want to share that verse with you. It says, those who have tasted the powers of the age to come and who are once enlightened, if they fall away, it is impossible to renew them back to repentance. Oh, that's a warning. It's a warning. It's impossible. So this morning, develop a kingdom mindset. The first thing, say, Lord, I'm content. Everybody say that? Lord, I'm content. And continue in this contentment and not in contention. Okay? Shall we all stand this morning? Develop a kingdom mind. All the little things that you are asked to obey, obey. Make it a practice. Make it a practice over and over again. Even if you fall a few times, it's okay. Don't give up. Keep being faithful in little things. Faithful where God has placed you. Content where God has planted you. Wherever you are planted. The Bible says, those who are planted in the house of God will flourish in the courts of our God. This morning, Lord, I commit all of us into your hands. Lord, the end of the age is near. Faster than we even think. We're living in uncertain, difficult, apocalyptic times. The things that you've already warned us of, even before they happened, and they're happening with increasing rapidity and frequency. But I pray, Father, that none of us will be caught unawares. Lord, we will prepare ourselves. Lord, you are allowing situations and trials into our lives so that we lose interest in Egypt and we will cry out and say, Maranatha. Many of us are still in Egypt. We love Egypt. We love this present age. We are caught like in the days of Noah, like the sons of this age, thinking about the basic rudiments of this life. Lord, have mercy upon us. Turn our eyes from the things which are temporal to the things which are eternal. For you said in your word in Colossians, if you have raised up with Christ Jesus, set your heart on things above, and your mind on heavenly things and not the things of this earth. Put to death the things that are earthly in you. Especially covetousness, which is idolatry. For those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You have given us these exceeding great and precious promises so that through them we can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is in this world through lust. Enable us, Lord, to take our eyes away from this temporal and to keep our eyes fixed on the ages to come. This age is ending, Lord, sooner than we think. Enable us to practice, to have a mind which is of the mind of the kingdom, a kingdom mind, a kingdom attitude, to be true sons of the kingdom. To that end, I pray that you would bless each and every one of us, that we become intentional in your kingdom. We'll commit ourselves to those things which we know are absolutely true, and we'll practice them, the little things and the big things. Grant us grace to that, and we pray. And even as we enter into a new week and a new month which is ahead of us, I pray, Lord Jesus, we will go about this week and this month, new month, with an attitude of the kingdom, that we are kingdom people. And therefore, O Lord Jesus, even as we walk as the sons of kingdom, empower us with your Holy Spirit and with kingdom authority. You said, O Lord, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Grant us that authority, O Lord, because you promised that these signs will follow those who believe. Let there be no unbelief in each one of us, O Lord. Enable us to believe the best that we can, and help thou our unbelief. And strengthen our faith and strengthen our resolve. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. We give you glory. We thank you, Father, once again for this opportunity that you've given to us to come together. Strengthen us in our resolve in the kingdom. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good time of fellowship with one another.